We have been talking about justification. We've been talking about justification, that we are redeemed, that we are saved. Now we're looking at all the various attributes of redemption. The Bible tells us that Christ was made unto us wisdom. Christ was made unto us righteousness. Christ was made unto us sanctification. Christ was made unto us redemption. We said that justification is the start process of the believer. God revealed himself to that individual as a person submit himself to God. He will know the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And he will know a change, a transformation. A transformation that covers every facet of the person's life. Ultimately, it talks about the redemption of the body. Well, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we said we can look at some experiences. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we said we can look at some experiences. We saw Adam and we saw Abraham. So the verse for reference, the verse that we looked at, I just quoted it, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. So there is a transformation that takes place in the man. But what starts the process is God reveal himself to that individual. The word must be preached. The gospel must be preached. And the person say, okay, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's wisdom. As he accepted that provision, God said, he put unto him righteousness. Righteousness. He said, Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. So after that, there's sanctification, there's also redemption. Redemption, you can break it into four levels, but that's not where we're going. Redemption means the deliverance, total deliverance from the body of corruption. Okay, so we see that when a person received the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives him a cloth of righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 22 says, therefore, it shall be imputed for him for righteousness. He said, we are justified by faith. So there is a salvation, there's a redemption. Imputed to him for righteousness simply means that the person, God reckoned to the person as righteous. There's nothing Satan can do about it. There's nothing the enemy can do about it. All the commission, the omission is taken away. God sees the person and he says, you are justified. I'm looking at you as you have as if you have never sinned. You are just like Jesus. That's what it means. You are just like Jesus. You have never sinned. Sin is not found in you. That's the way God sees us. It is imputed for him as righteousness. But as the person walk in God, there's a transformation from that level of life to a greater level of life. And you can look at it in the clothing of the high priest. The first garment is white. But as the person obeys God, he can now wear the robe, or the blue robe, that as it continues, God starts clothing him, until the person stands in the fullness of the high priest. So we say there's a growth. When you look at righteousness starts from a point, but it grows until the person is clothed with the robe of righteousness. Or another way of saying it, until he has the righteousnesses of Christ. It said the woman has made herself ready. It was clothed with wine linen, which is the righteousnesses of the saints, the righteousness, the character, the nature of God is now walked into the believer. Okay, so in looking at a person that is not born again, we say that a person that is not born again, that's in the last meeting. If you can get hold of the recording, it's really great. Yes, then we said we can say three levels. Adam was in the garden. He had no sin. But when sin entered into him, he disobeyed God. God kicked him out of the garden. So we're seeing that there is a characteristics of the garden. There's a characteristics of outside the garden. And we're now saying that when we are brought back to the garden, the estate of life God has made available for us is beyond what Adam knew before he fell. Because two scriptures can clarify that, or one scripture. He said, Adam was made a living soul, but Christ is made a life-given spirit. And we are no longer in Adam. We are no longer in Adam. We are in Christ Jesus. So we said last week that when a person is born again, it doesn't just come back to like Adam. His sins are forgiven. He's brought back into the garden. Revelation chapter 2 tells us that God give us, he said, they that overcome will I give to eat of the tree, the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. So we say God now, it's not a physical tree. It's not a physical tree. Because the book of Proverbs tells us that the tree of life is wisdom. Wisdom is the tree of life, it tells us. And we know that the fullness of wisdom is in Christ Jesus. So it's not talking about a physical tree. But so God grant us that access. So we are saying we are no longer in the genealogy of Adam, the first man. But our genealogy is in the last Adam. Our genealogy is in Christ Jesus. So we have come beyond the living soul to a life-quickening spirit. So a person that is born again is no longer a soul, but is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. It's a spirit. All that is born again, they are spirit. And the word, they are spirit. They have a soul. They live in a body. So the Adam that before he sinned was a living soul. So we said there's we can look at the characteristics of these three levels, outside the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Eden, and beyond the Garden of Eden. Okay, so we're now examining the fact that when Adam sinned, there's some three things that happened to Adam. Three things. He was kicked out of the garden, and he was now outside the garden. And we said last week that we can look at three things outside the garden. Three things outside the garden. We said one of the things is that of the wicked spirit outside the garden. The wicked spirit, Satan, principalities, power, they are outside the garden. That's one. We call them vagabonds. Okay? That's outside the garden. The second thing we looked at, secondly, we can say outside the garden is the fall and the effect of the fall. Not the cause now, the fall. The mere fact that Adam fell, there was some certain characteristic that went with Adam. There was some certain characteristic that went with Adam because he just fell. He fell from that environment. Then, thirdly, we say there is also the cause and the effect of the cause. We'll go back to what our sister shared just briefly to us when he was praying for our brother. That's actually the burden of this work. We're just trying to lay some foundation. And I trust God. I will pause in the midst of this meeting and we'll pray, and I will continue. There's a reason why. Okay, so we see three things, outside the garden, inside the garden, and beyond the garden. God wanted something better for Adam, even when he was in the garden without sin. God was coming in the spirit of the day. He said God was coming in the cool, C-O-L-L, of the day. He was coming in the spirit of the day to minister, to teach, to converse, to fellowship, to commune with Adam. It was for a purpose because God wanted to lift Adam up from that realm. The man Adam in the Garden of Eden was a master on the earth. He was the king. Psalm 8 tells us that he was a king of the earth. He was a master of the earth. He was supposed to have dominion over the earth and rule over the earth. Not the heavens, but the physical earth. The physical earth. But when we see Jesus, we see Jesus Christ, his dominion was supposed to be beyond the earth. It was a life-giving spirit. So that's more or less what we have said. So there is outside the garden, there is this characteristics we see, the fall and its effect. And we see the cause. He said, because thou hast done this. Okay, cause is the ground for thy sake and all the other cause. Sorrow, multiplicity, and dying and death. He said, dost thou art? Dost thou will return? Okay, we see that. Then we see this wicked spirit outside the garden. Okay, so we want to try and look at some things that we need to. How do we overcome these limitations? How do we overcome these weaknesses? How do we overcome these failures? How do we overcome these hindrances? So that's the intention of this brief meditation. And God will greatly help us. But let me just read Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, 7 to 13. So we'll just read this. And I will, after reading, I'll try not to make any comment. I'll just highlight some things. It will help us in our prayers because we're going to pray. We need to just draw strength from the Lord. There's something God has for you. There's something God has for me. And we'll get it through our partnership with him today. But there's something available. And the eyes of them both were open. So we said from 7 to 13 talks about the fall and its effect. Okay. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. So this is the first time you see man was naked. And man was exposed to the powers of darkness. Satan could gain access. So we are going to pray. You're going to pray that Satan cannot gain access to you. But you are going to say it yourself. The enemy cannot gain access to you, cannot gain access to your home, cannot gain access. You are not naked. The prophetic word has gone forth and said you are clothed. You are a new creation. You are a brand new man. So that's the exit. The powers of darkness, they thrive in the atmosphere of darkness. He said, we are delivered from the kingdom of what? Darkness. So Satan thrives in the environment of ignorance, in the environment of lack of understanding. When he came to Jesus Christ, he said, turn these stones into bread. Jesus Christ said, no, that's not God's word. So we have to know God's word and say God's word. Okay, so we are not naked. Okay, we don't have to sew fig trees, leaves, ideas from here. Oh, do this. Just click here. Then talk to this person, you get married. Those are fig trees, not ideas of the enemy. They sew aprons to clothe themselves, no. So we have to stand on God's word. He said their eyes were open world to the powers of darkness, open to that realm of darkness, not open to God, not open to his will. Okay, they made themselves apron strings. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day, in the garden in the cool of the day, verse 8. And Adam and his wife hid from the presence of God in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said unto him, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. So fear. Are you afraid of tomorrow? Are you afraid of next week? Are you afraid in that moment? So we have to address this fear. You have to address this fear. You have to see what God says you are. And let this fear vanish. These are because you are no longer outside the garden. Anybody born again is no longer. This vigorous character must not characterize our life. Okay, because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Where did you get this idea from? Where did you get this teaching, this instruction? Who told thee? So there was a teaching. Satan was sowing his seed. It was a seed of the devil. Who told thee thou that wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree which I command thee that thou shouldest not eat? That to eat means to accept. You accept the wisdom of the world. You accept the wisdom of Satan. You accept those ideas. So he said, have thou eaten? Have you accepted it? Have you appropriated their own ideas? And the man said, the woman which thou gavest me, gavest to be with me. He gave me of the tree, and I did it. Remember, the woman which he's talking about, the woman is Adam, because the woman was taken out of Adam. Okay, so but we won't stay there that long. So it's not something extraneous. The woman is talking about is himself, because that woman was taken out of Adam. And she gave me to eat, and I did eat. And the Lord, that's that portion we're talking about last week's accusation. Satan come to accuse. You did this, you did this, you made this mistake. I'm looking for the toothbrush, I can't find it. You took it. All those weird accusations. And the Lord God said unto the woman, who is this what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did it. Okay, so those things, those elements, whether it's because of the fall or the event of the fall, has been dealt with on the cross. Christ has dealt with it. But Christ wants you to do something. He wants me to do something. There must be something we must do. Okay, so let's look at the fall, the cause or the effect and its effect, Adamic cause and its effect. Genesis chapter 3:15. I will try not to make any comment. Let me just read. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here, God was speaking and addressing Satan. Okay, so he's saying the church, the body of Christ, Christ himself, the seed is Christ. And by extension, we are part of that seed. We are the seed, the church. So we shall bruise his head and thou shalt bruise his heel. So your heel has been bruised for a long time. It has to stop. So mine has been bruised. It has to stop. So, and God gives us the way to do it. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, Curse is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Genesis 3:18. Tongues also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So we see that it is here that we see pain. It is here that we see sorrow. It is here that we see labor and hardship, struggle, 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 toil, 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 until the person physically dies. Or here we see difficulty in conception. People having difficulty to even taking the seed to bring forth children. It's a greatly multiplied that conception. The conception is difficult outside the garden. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So our children, for those that have children, shall not give us pain, shall not give us sorrow, shall not give us labor, shall not give us hardship. So he said, that desire shall be thy husband, shall rule over thee. He said, the ground is not cursed for our sake. This earth, he said, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. This earth belongs to God. I must not labor and labor and labor and it comes, it brings forth tongues and tears. So no, anything that I put my hands upon shall prosper. It shall be fruitful. It shall not lead to tongues and tears. So we see all these various characteristics here, and which we cannot talk to more detail now. It's very diverse, but we won't stay there that long. So we see, that's the picture we see. But let's go to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, very instructive. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 is very instructive. So, but the background of Psalm chapter 8 is the environment of the Day of Atonement. Is the environment of the Day of Atonement. Is the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Is the feast of God's people entering into their fullness. That's what tabernacles simply represent. The people of God entering into their fullness. That's when they were singing this song. The Jews, when they are carrying out the Feast of Tabernacles, they normally sing this song of Psalm 8. They sing this song, and it's time of excitement for them. It's a psalm that they sing during that time. So when you read Psalm 8, it gives you a picture of victory. It gives you a picture of triumph. It gives you a picture of entering into the provision of God. We see it in three psalms, Psalm 8, Psalm 81, and Psalm 84. They call it the Feast of the Wine Press. It is at this time of the year they did it already, maybe a month ago. They call it Rosh Hashanah and all that. It is the Day of Atonement, that time. It went in agriculture. I don't know why I'm laying more of this background, but let me explain further. In time of agriculture, that's when the grapes come in, the grapes, they pierce the grapes and bring out the wine. So it's a time of the tabernacle. It's a time of people entering into their inheritance. It is, and our inheritance is God. It's a people entering into the provision in the covenant. What am I talking about? People entering into health. People entering into wealth. People having soundness of mind, soundness of emotion. All the provision, the covenant being made available for them. That's what we see here. So when you start looking at the Psalm 8, Psalm 81, Psalm 85, we call it the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Ingathering. You are coming back into God. You are being gathered unto God. In that, what it means for us in the New Testament, you are entering into his love. You are entering into his peace. You are entering into experientially, not just in the time you are born again, but experientially, you are knowing this character and walked into you. So it's the Feast of the Wine Press. It's the Feast of Booths. It's the Feast of Ingathering. It's the Feast of Life. So that's the background we see in Psalm 81. Psalm 84, and Psalm 8. So, but we are looking at Psalm 8. Oh Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 2. verse 2. He said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast ordained strength. So out of the mouth, God has ordained strength. But it tells you the mouth of who? The mouth of babes. Or the mouth of those that are nursing, babies that are drinking milk. Okay? So when we come to babes and suckling, it said, as newborn babes in the Lord, we should desire the sincere milk of God's word. So it's talking about the people that are just born again. It's not talking about people that are fathers or young men or even little children. So there's the babes, there's the little children, there's the young men, and there's the fathers. Okay? So we are not talking about that. We're talking about people that are just born again. There's something God has ordained for you. And when he takes you out of the garden and brings you into his garden, you are no longer enemies in the common word of God. You are brought back to know him, to be saved, and you are saved, and you are in the garden. There's some certain things that must be activated. And God has ordained that you are the one that will bring it to pass. You are the one that will execute it. He said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God has ordained strength. God is saying, out of your mouth, brethren, out of your mouth, brethren, there's life, there's power. God has ordained strength in your mouth, out of the mouth of babes and suckling. He's not talking about that this person has been born again 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. He said, babes, God has ordained strength out of the mouth of the babes. Okay, let's say the babes just keep quiet and don't speak, then strength is not ordained. But out of the mouth of babes and suckling, he has ordained strength. Why has he ordained strength? He said, because of the enemies. There are enemies in the land. The enemies of nakedness, the enemies of fear, the enemies of sorrow, the enemies of pain, the activities of powers of darkness, the activities of demonic spirit, the activities of witchcraft in the land, the activity of men, marabouts, wicked men, that says that your environment, your home shall be scattered, that say you will not prosper, that say you will not grow in the Lord. All these enemies, he said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God has ordained strength. To do what? Because of that end, there's a purpose. God has ordained that we might be partners with him to fulfill this role. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast ordained strength because of thy enemies. Not enemy, but enemies. That thou might steal the enemy and the avenger. That thou may steal. So out of the mouth of babes, God will steal the enemy. God will steal the avenger. Is there any new King James version? It would be nice looking at all the versions. So God wants to steal the enemy. God wants to steal the avenger. You want to shut them down. You want to bring them. It's very interesting that made us steal the enemy and the avenger. So God has ordained strength. So out of the words of thy mouth, there's strength ordained. There's strength ordained. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings and nursing infants, God has ordained strength because of the enemies, that he may silence the enemy. The New King James says, he will silence the enemy. He will silence the enemy. He will shut them down. He will spoil their works. In fact, if you look at the word there, that he might steal the enemy, it means Shabbat. It means, you know what, when some holy guns and trouble, they are troubling somebody, you know what, they go to the police and get a letter. They call it desist, to cease and desist. That means this person must not come near this house, must not come near this place, must not come near this place. So God wants to steal the enemy. Satan cannot gain access. Satan cannot gain access to steal the enemy, to resist the enemy. Because out of the mouth of babes and suckling, he has ordained strength. To do what? To silence the enemy and the avenger. To silence the enemy and the avenger. So the word to steal there means to cease to exist, to exterminate, to bring to an end. So what are we saying? We are saying that the words that you speak out of the wall, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God has empowered it. There's, when the word goes out of the mouth of babes, there's power, there's authority to do what? To resist the powers of darkness. What I'm saying is, I'm trying to say that every child of God has this ability, has this strength, has this capacity. Every child, not one, not two, not three, every child. But the key thing is that out of the mouth of babes, the Lord has ordained strength. He has ordained strength to steal the enemy, to silence. Other translation says to silence the enemy and all who oppose you, to bring the enemy to it cannot, it's paralyzed. That's what they say, to paralyze the enemy, to spoil him. In the name of Jesus. So out of the mouth of babes and suckling, the Lord has ordained strength that he might steal the enemy and that he might steal the avenger. So the key thing is that the mouth, out of the mouth of the enemy, out of the mouth of the babes and suckling, God has empowered strength. There's something God has done concerning it. To what? To steal the enemy and the avenger. Amen. Amen. So let's build on that. Okay. Let me use, we'll read the scripture, then we'll try and pray, then I'll continue. To steal the enemy or avenger. So God comes to deal with all this condition, but your mouth is very, very, very relevant. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 10. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So the first key is to know what God has done. What has he done? What has he accomplished? Once that understanding is clear to us and we believe it in our heart, then we must speak it. We must continue to speak it. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God had perfected praise. He has perfected strength. You keep on saying it. You are on the street, you are saying it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I will not die, I will live. You keep on saying it. It is well with my children, because God says these children, they are olive plants round about my table. Olive plants means they reflect the glories of the Holy Spirit. Olive tree, olive plant. It is out of the olive tree, olive plant, you get the oil. So he said, your children shall be olive plants round about your table. So my children are not wayward. My children are excellent. You keep on saying it. You keep on saying it. Because out of the mouth of babes and suckling, the Lord has ordained strength. Has ordained strength. What does he do? It's the enemy. He terminates their influences. He caused them to be paralyzed. You keep on saying it. Has Christ done it on the cross? Yes, he has done it on the cross. So the heart is critical. You must believe this provision that you are no longer outside the garden. Christ has brought you. God is not angry with you. He has peace. See, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
You are no longer in that environment. He has brought you in. He has brought you in, and his ministry is teaching you. Then with your heart, you believe. And your mouth is not sure. You keep on speaking it. You keep on confessing it. I will live and not die. This Canada is a time, is a place of prosperity for me. Why? Because the scripture says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You keep on saying it. And when you say it, what does it do? It steals the enemy. It steals the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, you speak to the condition of them. I shall not suffer pain in conception. I shall not have difficult menstrual cycles. I shall not have difficult mental pain, mental stresses. I shall have no sorrow. Sorrow, it came as a result of the fall. You stand on God's provision. I shall live and not die. Dying process is not a portion in my life. Your mouth must speak. Your mouth must speak. Your mouth keep on speaking. Your mouth keep on speaking and speaking and speaking. And what are you speaking? You are speaking that which has been deposited in your heart. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Isaiah chapter 53 is striking because the way he started it, he said, who had believed our report? Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who had believed our report? Who? So the key is belief. Once one believe it, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Then start talking about the victories and the triumph of Christ Jesus that is secured on the cross. So all those three elements, the fall and its effect, the cause and its effect, the powers of darkness judge, and his angels, all is secure for us in Christ Jesus. It deals with all those conditions. So once we are in that guarding condition, this condition, we must judge it in our life. We must say, this must not reign in our life. This must not prosper in our life. So let me read this, then we'll pray, then I'll continue. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall go up. He shall go up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So Christ was despised. So if he's despised, I'm no longer despised. If he's rejected of men, then I'm no longer rejected. He was a man of sorrow. That means my sorrow is no longer there. He took away. He was acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs. That means the griefs we are talking about, those pain, those stresses, those feelings, those costs, those effects, he has borne it. You no longer have it. It carried away your sorrow. Your sorrow is no longer on you, is on Jesus. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. So on the cross, he was wounded for me. He was wounded for my transgression. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your shalom. Peace there is shalom. Peace there is completeness. That which you need to take you from the very beginning to the very fullness has been secured for you on the cross. It has been secured for you on the cross. Then the pain, the distresses is no longer yours. Christ has taken it away. It was wounded for you. It was bruised for you. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. Then that means I must not be oppressed. So you take those words, say, Christ was oppressed. Then I cannot be oppressed. Satan must not be pressing me in the bed. It must not be pressing me in outside. I must not see visions of me running and being chased by demons. It must not stop. It's not my portion. This condition terminates. How am I saying it? I will say it with the words of my mouth. I'm not waiting for one big minister to come and lay hands upon me. No, I'll say it out of the mouth of babes and suckling. God has ordained strength. There's something God has done. When you speak his word, he has ordained strength that he might steal the enemy, that he might steal the avenger. He has ordained it. So your mouth is critical. You must confess unto salvation. You must confess. You must say the things God has ordained. Your mouth is relevant. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers, he was dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked. Because he made his grave with the wicked, I cannot dwell in that environment. I don't have a portion with the wicked. So the confession of our mouth is very, very critical. Let me pause a bit. There's two other scriptures we will look at, but let's pray. Just pray. Based on what we have said so far, just pray. Say, God, address it's targeted prayer. Address some conditions. Some things you have been seeing that does not talk about the testimony of Christ. That does not relate to test. That does not speak of life. Life, mental soundness, mental wholesomeness, peace that does not flow from the throne of God. Anything you are seeing, address it right now. Pray for yourself. Pray for your home.
But then let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He said, who has delivered us from so great a debt and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us? Who has delivered us from so great a debt and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us? We see that redemption is a process. Here he said he has delivered us. So there's deliverance in the past. There's deliverance now. There's deliverance in the future. The deliverance in the future is the redemption of the body. The redemption of the body. Taking on a new body. Said this body of this tabernacle, if it's dissolved, we have a house made in the heavens, eternal in the heavens, made without hands. So we see there's three type of deliverance here, or another way of saying is the process of deliverance. He has delivered us. When we are saved, he delivers us from death. And he is still delivering us now. And doth deliver, in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, 8 to 15. Just go through some few scriptures, then we'll pray. It said, beware lest any man spoil you. Beware lest any man take you captive through philosophy or vain deceit. So let no man take you captive. Let no man spoil you. Talking about people that are saved. So one has to watch his soul. Watch his soul. So let no man, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That's how Eve was taken in the garden. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all. He's talking about Jesus. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. That's a statement God has made concerning you, concerning me, concerning his church. Our completeness is in him, in Christ Jesus. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. We are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. So here, talking about the strata, there's a strata in the powers of darkness. There's also the strata in the kingdom of God. And so here, it's not saying that Jesus Christ is head over demons and devil. No, there's a principalities and power in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But Christ is head over them. Okay, head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye were raised with him through the faith of the operation of God. So when we died it with him by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by understanding, by knowing that as he died on the cross, we died with him. As we resurrected with him, buried with him in baptism. This baptism is not the baptism of water. It's totally immersed in him. As he died on the cross, we died with him. As he raised, we were risen with him. Why do we know that? He said, through faith. By faith, we experience that death. As he died on the cross, my calamity, my failures, my sin, my omission, my commission went with him on the cross. As he resurrected, I resurrected with him in the newness of life. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also were raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead, the operation of God, the God himself, God the Father, raised him from the dead. And ye, being dead in your sins, verse 13, and ye, being dead in your sins and your circumcision of your flesh, had he quickened, that's resurrection, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all, forgiving you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting, blotting out the handwriting. So this is where we come to, blotting out the handwritings. That means the handwriting. What are the handwritings? Okay, we might say in simple terms, we might say any accusation of the enemy, anything he has written, whether they're written it in the physical, whether they are written in the spiritual, said, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. You write, accusations, you did this. You didn't do this last time, you didn't do this, you did this. All the handwriting of ordinances, all the effects, all the fall. You did this, you are weak, you are not strong, you are afraid, you are in fear. All those handwriting, it blotted. He said it has been blotted out. Anything that is an ordinance that have been written, that have been stamped, sealed, back and forth. This is your accusation. This is your failure. He said, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that is against us. Why is he against us? Because we have our genealogy has been changed. We are not in the Adam after the fall. The life-giving spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no accusation against him. There's nothing.
they have blotted the handwriting of all that is against us, which is it is contrary to us. One, it is against us. Number two, it is contrary to us. It's not part of our nature any longer. It's not part of our life any longer. It's contrary. He took it out of the way. He nailed it on the cross. So you look back and say, this thing just troubling me. I want to do righteousness, but I find myself doing evil. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, thank be to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans chapter 7, the last three verses. So he acknowledged the Lord. The ordinance that's against you, brethren, they have been nailed to the cross. The curses, the hexes, the spells, the charm, the divination, the schemings of witchcraft, the spell of witches have been nailed on the cross. You have those things have no hold over you. Remember, the key thing is your mouth. The key thing is you believe. So you cite the scriptures, you look at the promise of God, and when you get it, you believe it. You keep on saying it. No crisis, yes, you are saying it. He said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, the Lord has ordained strength. Another word, strength, there is perfected praise. You take the word of God and you worship God. You praise him. He has done it. He has delivered me from sin. My curses have been judged. My sickness and maladies have been judged. My failures have been judged. This thing is not part of my nature. I'm the head, not the tail. You keep on singing it. He has perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, he has perfected praise. You keep on seeking it. I shall not be desolated. My home, my house shall be married. I shall be married. Physically, yes, I shall be married. Spiritually, I shall be married to the Lord. I shall be married to his word. I shall be married. I shall live and not die. Though darkness covers the earth and God's darkness the people, those darkness is not my portion because I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. I dwell in light. I dwell in the light I cannot be approached unto. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God has ordained praise. God has perfected praise. You keep on singing it. You keep on worshiping God based on what you see he has done. And you keep on saying it. You keep on prophesying. Because out of the confession of your mouth, you will know deliverance. He said he has nailed it on the cross. He has, contrary to us, has nailed on the cross. And he said, having spoiled, back to Colossians, having spoiled, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, we are almost there. Having spoiled, Christ spoiled principalities and power. He spoiled them. The word spoiled them means he disarmed them. He made them powerless. The enemies you are looking at, they don't have the weapon. They can't do nothing. They are restrained. He said, he still the enemy. They are paralyzed. Brethren, understanding is important. He said, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So understanding is critical. Satan operate and thrive in the environment of darkness, environment of ignorance, environment of obscurity. There's partial light, partial darkness. He said, having spoiled principalities and power. He made them powerless. In fact, he said he took away their weapons away. These principalities and power, they are the bad ones, okay? The first one we read is the good ones. These are the bad ones. The bad ones. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and power. Yeah, these principalities and power are the bad ones. He spoiled them. He still the enemy and what? And the avenger. He spoiled them. Satan has been spoiled. Satan cannot take those effects of the fall or the curse and make it more grievous. And make our jaws more grievous so that they bring forth tongues and thistles. It is not our portion. Satan cannot make a childbearing so difficult that it scatters home. Satan cannot just make childbearing so difficult that in the place of delivery, the woman is crying and crying in pain. And when it brings forth the baby dying or the woman dying, it is not the portion of the church. So it's poor principalities and power. The cause, the effect had been nailed to the cross. He made a shoe of them openly. It is an open book. Satan knows it. He has been spoiled. He has been spoiled. It is recorded in openly. The whole powers of darkness saw it. The heaven saw it. He made a shoe of them openly. He triumphed. It was a battle. It was a battle. It was a hand combat. It was a battle. And Satan was defeated. Christ is not saying he wants you to fight that battle. No. He said you should just enjoy the blessing of that battle. What do you know, do? What do you need to do to enjoy the blessing of that battle? He said, speak this provision. Speak it. Keep on speaking it. Out of your mouth, God has ordained praise. He has ordained praise. He has perfected. The New Testament says he has perfected praise. In the Old Testament, he has ordained strength. Keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. And you will see the enemy decimated. The original in the Hebrew, he says, steal the enemy. He said, Satan, seize and desist the devil. Satan cannot come here. Then another word used is exterminate. He was vanquished. He was destroyed. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 9. Let's go to 9. Here, he said, he has saved us. He has saved us. Who had saved us and called us into a holy calling? So we have been called. We are saved. We are under captivity to the powers of darkness. He saved us. Sozo, he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. There's a purpose why God saved you. His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. But it's now made manifest. It's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. So Christ has abolished death. Death has been abolished. One of the elements of death is sickness. He said the wages of sin is death. He has abolished death. He abolished death. He abolished sin. He brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. So the gospel is a fundamental means by which these things have been made manifest. By the gospel, we know death has been abolished. We are no longer outside the garden. We are in the garden. We are in the place of favor. We are in the place of abundance. We are in the place of the river of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God. Christ has abolished death. Why? Through what? Through the gospel. And not only abolished death, life was open unto me, was open unto you. It brought life, and life in all its expression. To what? To the fullness of life, which is immortality. So the gospel opened up the floodgates. The gospel made these things available. The gospel gave us entrance into this provision. It is the gospel. It is the word of God. This same word, say, let this word not depart from your mouth. Okay, we should go with more speed to the word of God than to go to the knowledge of the world, the philosophy of the world, the deceit of the world. Uh-huh. We should lay hold upon the word of God. And when we get that word of God, we meditate on it. It's part of us, and we can keep on speaking it. He has perfected praise out of the mouth of the babes. God will steal the enemy. God will steal the avenger. It is out of your mouth that God will judge these things that we are talking about. No other way. He's not going to send an angel to come and do it. It is when you speak the word, then angels take it and execute it.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, because we were like Adam, he also himself likewise took part of the same, because we're like the first Adam. He now came as a human being. He also himself took part of the same, that through death. So as Christ died, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. So when Christ went to the cross is fundamental. The cross, the justification flow from what Christ did on the cross. Because he died, certain things and certain conditions was set in motion. Because he died, it destroyed Satan. It destroyed Satan. It destroyed Satan. Verse 14. He destroyed Satan through death. Because as he went to the cross, remember, we said when Christ was dying, you were dying with him. Okay, it is by faith. You won't believe it or believe it. As he died, you died with him. As you resurrected, he resurrected with him. He said he took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him. Who is the one that has the power over death? Satan. He destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Satan had been destroyed. That's what he's telling you. So you have this understanding. Say, Satan has been destroyed. Then I must enforce it. Then in the scripture, it said, Satan is bruised under your feet. So you bruise the head of the dragon. You bruise the head of the devil in your home. You bruise him. Say, Satan, you cannot manipulate me. You send God's word. Say, I judge you this day because Christ has done it on the cross. I judge you. This condition, this situation ceases. You judge Satan. You bruise his head. You terminate his influence. You steal the avenger and the devil. Why? Because God has done it and you believe that word. That word that flows out of your mouth. Satan has been destroyed. That is the devil. He has been destroying him that have power over death. Verse 15. Because Satan has been destroyed, we have been delivered from the fear of death. Remember fear? Then we are afraid. We are afraid when they fell. He has been delivered. Remember? He has delivered us from so great a death. And we are being delivered, and we trust that he will yet deliver us. Deliver them which through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Bondage has been judged. So Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, God gives us two ingredients in our weaponry. Then the third one is the lifestyle. The lifestyle. Your lifestyle is needed to overcome in the battle. He said, and they love not their lives unto death. What does that mean? That means they were willing to lose their life. They love not their lives even unto death. In simple terms, he said, whosoever want to preserve his life shall lose it. Whosoever want to preserve his life shall lose it. Say, take your cross daily, and let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Okay, so they love not their lives unto death means they were living a life of submission to God, a life of submission. Okay, living a life of submission, just every day, every time they are submitting to God, that's taking the cross. They are living a life submitting unto God. They are saying, not mine, but thy will be done. Okay, they are not saying, me, myself, and I. No, they are saying, Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, rule in my home. Lord, rule in my life. Rule in my life. That's the environment. Okay, but they say, they overcame him. How did they overcome the dragon?
How did they overcome this devil? How did they overcome this dragon, this beast? They overcame it, what? By. In this scripture, if you look at it again and again, you see the word by, to buy, by the blood of the Lamb. The second by there is by the word of their testimony. So there's two things, ingredients you need. You need the blood of Jesus and you need the word of God. But those two things, you must testify it. You must say it. You must confess it. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, the Lord has ordained strength. You must say it. This is not just now, Next week, next 2 weeks, keep on saying it. There's some provision that God has ordained for you that you don't see yet. Say, Lord, bring it to pass. Today you will say it, tomorrow you will say it. You keep on saying it. Because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, the Lord has ordained worship. He has ordained praise. He has perfected praise. He has ordained strength. And as you keep on saying it, as you keep on batting in that atmosphere of worship, you see God start judging the adversary. Say, God, this is what you have ordained. This is your standard. This is your provision. This is the things that you have ordained. Therefore, Lord, bring it to pass. I rejoice in the victory of Calvary. I rejoice that I'm a new creation, that I cannot sin. I rejoice in that which you have ordained for me, to have life and have life in all that's abundant. You keep on rejoicing in that which you are saying. People may be looking at you, they may say, what's wrong with this guy? But you are saying God's words. You are prophesying God's provision. You are keep on saying it. You keep on confessing it. You see your child, you say, you are a proper child. You are mentally and emotionally sound. You shall not die, you shall live. You shall be a child as olive plants round about my table. Yo, the Bible says their quiver is full of them. I have children that are quivers in the hand of the Lord. They are battle axes. You keep on saying it. It is the provision of God. And as you say it, God will execute his will. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. That's the provision, the covenant. It's in the cross that God destroyed Satan. It is in the cross that he spoiled principalities and power. It is in the cross that the handwriting, anything, and you're having pain right now, you're having sorrow right now, he took it on the cross. He took it, all those ordinances, and he nailed it. He nailed it on the cross. And he said, you no longer have it. He carried away your griefs. He carried away your sorrow. Is it sickness? Is it maladies? Is it pain? He carried it away. But how do you obtain victory? Go to him and say, Lord, you have done it. You have executed this victory. I rejoice in your hand, in your victories. I rejoice in your triumph. And receive the things that you have ordained for me. Therefore, but these things that I'm seeing, it is not that which you have ordained. Let these things be judged. Let me know deliverance from this condition. Let the enemy be stilled. Let the enemy be exterminated in my life. Let the influence of the powers of darkness not be known in my home. You keep on saying it. They overcame him by the blood of that. It is battle. But God has guaranteed us victory. We are just executing upon the enemy, the judgment that is written. The victory has been secured. The triumph has been secured. We are just enjoying this victory. We are just enjoying these things that he has ordained for us. So we say, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. By the word. The word is Jesus. It is his word. It is his provision. It is his promises. But we have to testify it by the word of their testimony. They testify. You must testify. You must keep on speaking it. Say, God, that's what you have ordained. And I will live and not die. I will live. I will mentally sound, emotionally sound, bodily sound. And my environment is blessed. They shall not bring forth tongues and thistles unto me. My family is blessed. My wife is blessed. My husband is blessed. My children are blessed. My environment is blessed. You keep on saying it. You keep on saying it. They are ordained praise. Ordained praise. Ordained praise. You keep on saying it. Keep on confessing it. Keep on speaking it. And as you speak it, their arrows are flowing out of your mouth. He said the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know the word of God is powerful than Panadol or Tylenol? It's powerful. He said it pierces the soul and the spirit. It pierces the bone and the marrow. The word of God will go to every facet of your being and change situation and change the organs and change the cells. The word of God. If they keep on saying it, keep on saying it. Javelin, a sword, keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Keep on testifying. Forget what the enemy has done. Just focus on the cross. The cross has because Satan maybe has bruised your heel, It is now your turn to bruise his head. And when you bruise his head, it's to be destroyed totally in your life in the name of Jesus. Keep on bruising his head until it's complete. He said, you shall bruise Satan shortly under your feet. For them, that was them. But you can do it right now. Right now. Say, Satan has been bruised in my feet. I will bruise the enemy, the head of the enemy. I will bruise the adversary in the name of Jesus. And they love not their life unto death. You are living in the covenant. You are living in the covenant of life. You are not dabbling in sin. You are not going to the wrong website. You are not hiding and sinning in the secret. You are not kissing and doing things that are illicit in the secret. They love not their life unto death. In this threefold manifestation, God will intervene. God will intervene. God, you will see the power of God. He will see it. He will not delay. He will not make haste. He will intervene. May the Lord bless us. Let's start praying. There's some things you must identify. Say, God, deal with this condition. Pray for yourself. It is dangerous, as one of my brothers keep on saying, it is dangerous to be quiet. Believe God's word and let that provision flow. I'm not saying you should say your own words. Say God's word. This is what God has promised me. This is what God has ordained concerning me. I'm a child of God. I'm complete in him. I'm mentally and emotionally sound. Therefore, let this provision that you have ordained for me, let me see the manifestation. May the Lord bless us.